Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here, a conservative's perspective on, let's see, it's Thursday, so it's got to be Patriot Nation. We're on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. Good to be with you. Ordinarily, what we would do on December 7th or on a date when the show was close to December 7th, is we would run the annual Pearl Harbor retrospective. And tonight we're going to be doing something a little different. Last week, as you remember, we had guest Barton Shively, United States Marine Corps January 6th survivor, telling us a little bit about everything that happened that day. Let me see what we got going on here. I got to turn some volume down on this telephone. I'm not getting any feedback. I don't know what's going on here. So Barton came on. He was there basically ground zero on the day when citizens initially made contact with the government on January 6th. He told us a lot about what had happened that day. And we're going to pick up with him. He joins us once again. I'm going to bring him up now. Barton's back with us. Barton, welcome to A Conservative's Perspective. We're glad to have you back with us.
Well, thank you for having me back. Glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you again. Like I said, when we were talking earlier, I'm really appreciative of you being so generous with your time and talking to our listeners about what's going on or what happened that day. And what we'll do is, just like we talked on the on the in the green room there. I'm going to go ahead and let you take off with what happened when you went to jail, and I know you want to talk a little bit about what this has cost you from the perspective of your physical well-being, your health. So I'm just going to let you go ahead and take off with that. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Mr. Martin Shively.
Well, thank you. I guess I'd like to start off by saying that, like I said before, if you think that your freedom is guaranteed in this country, you're sadly mistaken. You need to think again, because what's happening right now in this country, I'm sure as your listeners know, being patriots of this great nation, we are under attack. The patriots, we patriots are under attack. There's no question about that. I had a house for 15 years that I was paying on. I had a car. I had, two PTSD dogs that I loved dearly. Once I got indicted for January 6th, I was put on home confinement or home arrest. I was on home arrest for, probably a year and a half. This whole thing looming over me was very stressful. The whole thing is very stressful on somebody, and it affects your health. And I went to the doctor, to the VA, and found out that I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer about 2.5 years ago. And I was in the process of getting my treatment set up to get started to treat it. I had a probation violation, which is a whole other story in itself. I don't really know if we have time to get into all that right now, but I got, I was told to go to DC by my lawyer because my judge wanted to see me, to address the violation. So I was like, okay, well, this was a Monday afternoon. I left everything in my house. I left my dogs in my house because my lawyer said, the judge is probably just going to, reprimand you, verbally reprimand you and send you back home. So just, come on down, and we'll deal with it when you get here. So I drove down to D.C. May 9th of 2021. And when I got down there, I met with my lawyer and he said, listen, this may not be just a slap on the wrist. And I was like, what? You made me drive down here. I don't have any arrangements, to take care of my dogs or my things in my house or anything. And, I was very upset by that. So I went to court, and of course the prosecution lied, exaggerated facts, distorted facts, made it sound like I was one of the worst people on the planet. I was a terrorist. I wasn't trusted to be in society. And the judge threw me in jail. And when she did that, I lost everything. I lost my home. I lost everything in my home. I lost my dogs. My one dog passed away a month after I was in jail.
Oh,
it broke my heart. Broke my heart. I had her for 14 years,
dude,
and she depended on me dearly.
Oh man.
That still breaks my heart to this day.
I got it, dude. I understand completely.
I'm sitting in a cell for 2 weeks by myself. I was only allowed to be out of my cell for an hour. I was locked up for 23 hours a day, for 15 days as soon as I first got there, quarantine, they called it, for COVID, it's terrible because I've never been in jail before. They throw me in DC gulag. They put me in a cell for 23 hours a day. I don't know what's going on. Your thoughts are going through your head of, I just lost everything. It's my fault. What am I going to do? You're freaking out mentally. Emotionally, it's hard to keep it together because, I didn't do anything that I considered to be punishable like that. Do you know what I mean? Like the punishment
right.
needs to fit the crime. The punishment needs to fit the crime. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of these guys in the DC gulag, the punishment does not fit the crime. You know, after that being all said, you know, so I get into DC gulag, I get into C2B, which is our little area in the jail where it's just, J6ers. They put us in a certain area of the jail, for just J6ers, because if we were anywhere else, we would have got stabbed, beat, you know, attacked, you know, violated, because it's down there. It's horrible. It's terrible. I've talked to many DC, you know, in the DC jail, a lot of the guards, and they tell you every day there's stabbings, there's fights. And I'll be honest with you, when you go from our area, from the jail, and you go across the catwalk to the other side of the jail, the main general population, I mean, it smells like marijuana. It just smells like a fire is burning all the time. I'll get into more of that a little bit on here when I tell you what happened. But I was, you know, in shock, obviously, when I got in there. And, you know, I started watching TV, and there was these commercials about, you know, Camp Lejeune water, Marines, you know, drinking the, you know, contaminated water. And I've been thinking to myself, wait a minute, I have cancer. I was at Camp Lejeune that time, you know,
right.
And I put two and two together and I started thinking to myself, wait a minute, I have cancer because I drank the contaminated water at Camp Lejeune, because I was at Camp Lejeune from 85 to 88, drinking that contaminated water. And I had no idea, you know, and, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, here I am, a kid wanting to serve my country, you know, to do my duty as a citizen to protect the people of this country, and my government can't even protect me. You know, they want to send me overseas to fight and die overseas. Well, if I don't die overseas, I come back home and I'll die because I drank the water at Camp Lejeune. And of course that hurt me, because I love my country. Every night at 9 o'clock in C2B in the jail, we sang the national anthem. I mean, that's what we did before we all went to bed. We all sang the national anthem at 9 o'clock every single night, no matter what. So patriotism was not something we were lacking in jail. We're all patriots. We love this country to a fault, I would say. You know, being in the DC jail was probably one of the worst 15 and a half months of my life. The judge who sentenced me knew that I was going to get chemotherapy the following day after she brought me down to DC, but she still put me in jail. And it took 4 months for me to get to the VA to get my chemotherapy treatment set up. They weren't even going to let me in the VA down in DC because they called me an insurrectionist and a traitor and a terrorist.
Jesus.
And I was, you know, I was devastated by that.
Let me ask you something about that, Brian. And you've touched on something, and I'm listening to you here, and I guess what I want to know is, and I know it's an individual thing, and I understand that, because the way that you deal with this stress is going to be different from the way somebody else deals with it, and vice versa, but. Was there anything, were there any kind of tricks, were there any kind of techniques that you used to deal with this? Because I can imagine you've had everything taken away from you, and that's got to be the most absolutely flattening feeling in the world. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything to fix this situation. You're at the mercy of people who are demonstrating absolutely no mercy whatsoever. And obviously there was something inside you that kept, you know, what was your motivation? What was it that kept you mentally resilient and mentally tough enough to withstand all the stuff that they were doing to you guys?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I got to be honest with you, man. It was very, very difficult. You just want to scream. I'm not going to lie. I broke down and cried for a while because, you know, I just lost everything that I loved, everything that I cared about, everything that I worked for my whole life was just taken away from me in an instant, you know, over what? Over political retribution, is what I call it. That's what it is. I mean, let's call it what it is. I was devastated. I prayed a lot, but that really didn't give me any solace because after I prayed, my mind would just go right back to, you know, what are my dogs doing right now? They're missing me. I'm not there. I'm not going to come home. You know, everything in my house that I've worked for my whole life is going to be taken away from me, which it was. I mean, I've lost a lot. And that's another story, having betrayal, friends and family betray me by going into my house and taking everything, all my stuff, and I haven't gotten any of it back yet. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's devastating, you know, and I put a lot of faith in God. I'm very religious. My faith is strong in God. That's one thing I can tell you. God, country, family. You have to have faith. If you don't have faith, you don't have hope. And without hope, it's hard to get through life without hope.
It's, you know, and I know that what you're, I'm painting with a broad brush here in broad brush strokes, but I'm just going to say that your story is typical of all those cats that were in there, right? I mean, everybody in there, all those guys have had everything, you know, they've all lost equally, haven't they?
Yes. Well, some more than others, but yes. There was another guy in there who was my friend. His name was Jeff, and he was a special forces guy. Green Beret, served numerous tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Great guy, the guy that you would just want to have your back every day. He lost everything, his wife, his house, everything. And he basically was a contractor for the government. So he was putting out information that, you know, he saw the actors, the people that were instigating everything, and the FBI actors, and the people that were doing nefarious things that day that weren't, you know, were setting the regular people up, basically. And he brought it to the attention of, you know, of the judge that he was under, and, you know, they persecuted him even more. I mean, they went into his cell, took all of his paperwork, everything that he had, you know, got together to defend himself in court. They took it all away from him. They don't want him speaking to anybody because he knows the truth. You know, that's the problem right now, is we're not getting a chance to speak and tell the truth to the American people. They're shutting us down at every turn, you know, and it's like the elections, the same thing. You know, people want to speak up and tell the truth and tell the, you know, American people what happened, but they shut them down every turn they get. They make you sound like you're crazy, or you don't know what you're talking about, or you're a conspiracy theorist, or you know, you're just an angry, you know, Republican who lost the election. Well, that's not true. Everybody, you know, vindictive people. Listen, what the left does. The left basically projects onto the right what they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They do. Yeah. They've done political mirroring as long as I can remember. I'm 61 years old and I've been a news geek since I was a wee little nipper. And at this stage in the game, in retrospect, I can look back and see all that they did. But they've done this for decades. And whatever they're accusing you and I of, odds on, that's exactly what they're doing when they're accusing us of it.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, you know, I dealt with chemotherapy. I went to chemotherapy. I had 6 treatments over 18 weeks at the VA. I would go to the VA handcuffed head to toe, cover me up with a sheet, put me in a wheelchair, wheel me into the room, cuff me to the bed or the chair or whatever. I cuff me to the chair, you know, give me chemo, uncuff me, then cuff me back up, take me downstairs, put me in the car, take me back, and I had to go back to my cell. It was very, very hard to do. And anybody that knows that went through chemo, you need support. You need support from your family. You need good food. You need an emotional support group to help you, because there was numerous times where I was just so sick I couldn't even get out of my bed. I personally am a very strong-willed person. I've been brought up that way, to be strong and be, you know, a strong-willed guy. So that's what I am. And I don't think about it. I don't cry about it. I don't make excuses for myself. I just deal with it and move on. But I'm telling you, it was very difficult to deal with going through chemotherapy while in jail, because the food was terrible. There's no medical support. Thank God for some of the guys in there, Peter Steger, Ronnie Sandlin. I mean, those guys, you know, really helped me a lot. Ronald McAbee, and these guys, saints in my book, all of them. I went through chemotherapy, that ended in December, and then in February I started radiation because my cancer wasn't gone. So I went through 4 weeks of radiation, and they this was the doctor's exact words. I think we over-radiated you.
Jesus.
Because I had a
wow.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because I had a really bad reaction to the radiation. I mean, it was I had my open wounds on where they were radiating me, and it was bleeding.
Wow.
And there was pus coming out constantly. I had to get new T-shirts every day from the jail because they were soaked in blood. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad. People don't really understand that when you're put in jail, it's hell. I mean, you're living in hell, basically. No one can help you. No one cares. No one's listening to you. No one wants to listen to you because you're in jail. I mean, it's a stigma in society when people look at people in jail and they go, oh, he must deserve to be there. Well, you know what? People in J6, a lot of them don't deserve to be there. A lot of them were set up. We were all set up. Entrapment is the key word here. You know, we were entrapped, and we were set up. We were pawns in a political game. You know, Pelosi, Schumer. You know, all these people are playing a political game, and that's what they do. Their power is more important than your freedom.
Oh,
so,
way.
So, you know,
they will sacrifice any of us to maintain it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
I know that you guys, the group in you know, in your self-contained unit there, I would imagine that the cohesion that you guys had amongst one another and you know, working on keeping your morale up, was that a source of irritation for the guards and the powers that be?
You could say that. I got there, you know, a little bit later on, but the guys that were there before me, they really changed that jail's dynamic. They really had it rough in the beginning. I mean, it was really bad. But they changed it. They worked at it. They put grievances in. They contacted the media. They did a lot of things it brought a lot of attention to a lot of things in that jail, and it changed a lot of procedural and things in that jail for the better. I forget, I think like 400 and some inmates got transferred out because of that. You know, the light was on the guards, because the guards, listen, when you're in jail, the guards basically run the jail. I mean, they can do whatever they want to do. And if it's not going to go anywhere, because if the jail's corrupt, which most jails are, especially in DC, believe me, that jail is so corrupt, it's beyond belief. That jail should be torn down, because the leadership, the warden, the assistant commander, all the way down, they're all corrupt. They're never going to let anything get out of that jail that they don't want to get. And they're all Democrats, most of them.
Right.
I only know one Republican that was in that jail, and he was an African guy from, I forget where he was from, but he was African, and he's like, you know, he was a really great guy. He was a really good guy. I really respected that man. But the rest of them, they don't care. They're Democrats. Let me tell you a little story one time. I was coming back from chemotherapy, and, you know, you get transferred in these little vans, and you go with two officers, and they cuff you up and take you, one person in a van, whatever. So we get back, and there's a bus full of inmates that are going in ahead of me, and you have to go in, get your shackles taken off, get frisked, and it's a whole process. Well, the one guard that was taking me in, there was another guard there that was waiting for the bus to unload, and she said, hey, can you guys just wait and let me take this guy in first? Because you have a whole bus load of guys, let this guy go first so we can take him in and get him back into his pod. This black guy came over to our van, looked in the van, looked at me, and said, I am not, there ain't no way I'm going to let this blankety blank blank go in front of my people. He goes, these, you know, blankety blank, brought us over here from Africa and enslaved us, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let him go ahead of my brothers. And I'm like thinking to myself, what are you talking about?
Holy cow.
Are you saying? What are you, you know? And he's like, I'm just waiting for the war to start because I'm going to be the first one to kill me some blankety blanks blanks. And I'm like, what in the hell is he talking about?
Jeez.
You know what I mean? And I was like, this is where we are. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, especially in that jail. I mean, because like I told you before, it's like 98%. You know, ethnic, and, you know, maybe 2% Caucasian, you know, so we're the minority, and they're very angry in there. I mean, this is DC. That's just one story. I have many, many stories, like, not like that, but different levels, you know. There was another time when, you know, there was a woman in there. She was a correction officer, and she was the worst. I mean, she was the worst racist, antagonistic, just horrible lieutenant ever. She would come into our pod and she would just hit the hornet's nest with a stick. That's what it was like. She would just start, you know, making everybody freak out, because she'd make us go to our cells, lock down, check this, check that. Oh, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Throw him into blah, blah, blah. She came in there one day and assaulted one of my friends, Ronald McAbee, and, I mean, assaulted him. And we all stood up. We were all riled. Everybody was riled up. It was like, you know, it was crazy. And we were all yelling at her and telling her she's corrupt and she just assaulted him. And they grabbed him and they put him against the wall really hard, and they took his hands behind his back and they cuffed him. She walked up to him while he was – there was two officers holding him against the wall. She walked up to him, took her mace out of her belt. He turned his head and she just put her mace right in his face and sprayed him while he was handcuffed. Oh, man, we flipped out. I think there was two other Marines in there besides me, and we grabbed the chairs, the plastic chairs, and we picked them up, and I was livid. But we didn't throw them. We put them back down, but we got accused of starting a riot. So the four of us had to go to the hole. Now, meantime, I'm taking chemotherapy. So they throw me in the hole with these other guys, my buddies. So we're in the hole. There's four of us. When you're in the hole, it's horrible. It stinks. The cell smells like urine, throw up, feces. It's disgusting. And it's very small. It's tiny. It's dark. It's just disgusting. I remember at like 9 o'clock at night, which just when you think everybody should be going to bed. No. It's a party. They would let the other inmates out and they would be playing music and they'd be dancing. And I remember hearing them, cause you can't not hear it. You know what I mean? And, it was disgusting. It was devastating because you're in the water. I couldn't even drink the water. It was that nasty. It stunk. It smelled. This is all documented. I documented all this already. People know this. I got very, very sick. I had to go to the medical. I asked to go to the medical part of the jail if I could talk to the doctor. So they took me out there and to talk to the doctor. And the doctor didn't even listen to me. I said, "Ma'am, I'm having a medical emergency. I don't feel well. I just got back from chemotherapy. I can't stand up. I'm dizzy. I'm throwing up. I'm very ill." "Oh, well, we'll just put you under observation for 24 hours to see how you do." And I'm like, "No, I need medical attention." And she's like, "Well, just take him and put him in the one cell." So they put me in a suicide watch cell. They put me in there for 36 hours with no medical attention. They would just drop the food off to me every day, open the door, put the food in, and walk away, close the door. I'm begging them for help. I'm at my wit's end. Honestly to God, I thought I was going to die because when I stood up, I was so dizzy, I would fall down. I was banging on the door, trying to get their attention. They don't care. They've been through this kind of thing all the time. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear you banging. They don't want to hear any of it. So I had a guy next door to me howling at nighttime. I mean, literally howling like a dog. And I can't sleep. They have the light on. They don't even turn the light off. The light's on 24/7. I felt like I was being interrogated by the enemy when I was like in the Marine Corps in the POW camp or something. I prayed. I prayed so hard. I mean, the only thing I can say is God got me through that because I got out of that situation and I got put back in the hole. Thank God. And I never thought I would want to go back to the hole, but I was glad to go back to the hole. And when I got back to the hole, my three inmates that were in there with me, my three buddies, were gone. They all got shipped out to different jails. Northern Neck. Rappahannock. They got shipped out, and I didn't get shipped out because I was going under chemotherapy. My judge told the jail not to take me out, but they did charge me. I was the only one to be charged with a crime. That's funny because when it came time for me to go to sentencing to talk to my judge, she actually wanted my disciplinary report from the jail so she could discipline me more if I had a bad report. So she got my disciplinary report, and my lawyer said, "This is not good because she's going to give you more time than, you know, she was going to give you," which she was going to give me 3 years, because of, you know, my plea deal and everything. She was going to give me the maximum of 3 years. And because of this disciplinary report, she was going to give me more time. Well, my lawyer questioned her about it and said, "Listen, my judge did something illegal. She directly went to the jail to get my DR report, and she can't do that. That's illegal. She has to go through my probation officer and go through, she has to go through legal procedures." When my lawyer said, "Listen, you recuse yourself because that's you can't do that. That's illegal. You can't do that. So please recuse yourself." Well, she wouldn't do it. It took my lawyer four times to ask her to recuse herself until finally he said, "Okay, you're not going to recuse yourself. Then I want you to make your emails public." make your emails public that you had going on with the jail. And you know what she did? She recused herself.
Excellent.
She recused herself, and you know what? She did it in Latin. That's how arrogant these judges are. They're
wow.
just arrogant. Yeah, they're arrogant, pompous asses. And you know what? That just goes to show you how biased they are, too. So thank God that she did that, because I got put back into the roulette wheel of judges, and I got one of the best judges I could have got. She actually was a very, very compassionate, good judge. And she gave me 18 months. I mean, that cut me down, and that cut me half my time. Plus, she said to me, "I don't want your death on my hands," because I looked sickly. I mean, I lost 45 pounds in jail, going through chemo and radiation. And she let me out of jail. I had been in for 13 months. She let me out at 15 and a half. So I did two more months after my sentencing, and I got out.
So were there any conditions upon your release? Was there probation, or was there any – or were you just – you had paid your debt and you were done? How did that end?
No. Of course not. They're not going to let you go like that. You're going to be on probation. They're going to watch you for the next 3 years. I got 3 years probation. So I think that alone is telling. I mean, they're going to watch all of us that went to J6. Most everybody got probation. They're going to watch all of us because we're the ones that stood up that day. We're the ones that stood up for America. And they know that we are the ones that will not stand down. We are the ones that will stand up and fight for this country. Not fight, but you know what I mean, stand up and make our voices known to the people, that the powers that be, that we're not going to take their crap or their deceit, you know what I mean, anymore. We're going to stand up, and we're going to tell them, look, I'm here for America. I mean, there's a lot of people in America that couldn't be here today, but you know what? I'm here for those people, and you're going to hear my voice representing those people, because what you're doing is wrong, and you know what you're doing is wrong, and we're being persecuted for it. You know what I mean? You know, it's like standing up to the British. You know, they persecuted the forefathers, and that's kind of how I feel. I feel like I'm in the class with my forefathers. I mean, I'm standing up for the country, and they're putting me in jail. They're taking everything. Everything was taken from me. I had to start over when I.
And the thing about this is, and when I found out that they were, and you know, it was obvious, I think, to anybody who knows, you know, what's going on, that they sent you guys to the DC jail everything was intended to break you guys. Well, you know, the only thing, except I guess with the possible exception of the physical torture that POWs have undergone in other countries, that whole thing was designed to crush you guys, to break you. I mean, that and the thing that bothers me the most about it, number one, is that it happened here in the United States, and that it happened at all. But there are so many people in this country that are not aware of it because the establishment guys aren't talking about this. They never did. And when they did talk about it, it was exactly like what you said. They isolated you guys. They targeted you. They called you traitors. They called you insurrectionists. They called you revolutionaries. They called you domestic terrorists. And anybody that agreed with you or took sympathy and saw this thing the same way you guys did, everybody was painted that way. And I think that's the thing that's most disturbing, is that there are so many people in this country that don't fully understand, because they think that when those guys on CNN or Fox News look them in the eye and say that stuff, that they're telling them the truth, and it just ain't so.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of times in C2B where we had to lock arms and stand together, and you know, just stand up to the powers that be, because they wanted to come in there. I mean, there were several times where they came in there, you know, wanting to raise hell and make us all strip down to nothing, you know, body cavity search us, go into our cells, tear our cells up, throw everything that we had that we really needed out, just give us the bare minimum, and let us go back into our cells. And I mean, it was. I'm telling you, it's like being in a POW camp.
Yeah,
I mean, you are a POW. You're a prisoner of war. And it was just it's devastating, because this is America. This isn't the way things are supposed to be in America. You know, the left can go out and riot and loot and destroy and assault cops, hurt cops, kill cops, you know, burn places down to the ground, and nothing happens to them. You know, they get arrested and then let go, you know, or sue. Like when I was in jail, I heard that the people that rioted in New York sued the police because the police didn't wear masks, and they won like $10 million in a lawsuit. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. This is ass backwards what's happening in this country, literally.
And I was going to say, it's a safe bet. You probably didn't run into any BLM or Antifa cats when you were in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
Oh, did you really? They have guys that were.
Oh, yeah. Around. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'm surprised.
Yeah, we had one guy, two guys actually came into our pod, and it's not good for them. Once we find out who they were, a lot of guys wanted to assault them, but the COs in the jail got them. They took them out really quick. They moved them out of our pod. But let me tell you a little story quick. Just recently, there was a guy who, I guess he got arrested behind Obama's house. He was back behind Obama's place, and
right.
He got arrested. He was picking some stuff up behind Obama's house, and Secret Service got him. They put him in our jail. They put him in our pod, and I don't know if you know anything about Ashley Babbitt, who the one that got shot.
Right. Yes, I do.
But yes. Okay. Well, her mother has a vigil outside our jail every night. She supports us. She brings attention to her daughter's death, and the corruption and the deceit and all that goes along with this, you know, what's happening. This guy was showing videos of her being shot every night out at the vigil to, He was under the impression that she was a crisis actor. They arrested him and put him in our pod, and they knew damn well that that was not going to go very well in our pod. There was guys in our pod that wanted to kill him, literally kill him. And one day it just got to the point where it got out of hand. 15 guys attacked him, and the situation got out of hand, and you know, I told the CEO, you got to get in there and help that guy. He's going to get killed. So they went in there and got him out, and everybody was mad at me for, you know, they call it snitching, but I wasn't snitching. If I didn't say something, that guy could have got killed. They could have killed him, and then they would have been, not only would they have been charged with, you know, trespassing and, you know, whatever else, they would have got for murder. So I thought that I did the right thing, and I'm not upset about it one bit. And after I talked to a bunch of them, everything was okay. But, I think they do that on purpose. The jail puts these people in with us to upset us and just try to get a rise out of us, and they do.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. They attacked you guys on all levels. They attacked you psychologically. They attacked you physically. They attacked you spiritually. They deprived you of all but the barest minimum of necessities and support. And I know that you've had to have some folks help once you got out. You wanna go ahead and talk about that right now and go into your page that you have set up?
Oh, my GiveSendGo page.
Yeah, but after you got out, Bart, I guess what I want to know was there anybody once you got out that was there for you to help you try and get reestablished? And of course,
oh, absolutely. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's organizations out there that support us completely. They know we're being set up. They know what's going on in the country, and they support us completely. So, when I got out, I had a lot of support by different organizations, and I'm very grateful for that. I talked a lot on Cowboy Logic. I talked on the Vigil. I mean, I talked on the Gateway. I had a Gateway Pundit articles. There are avenues for us to get our word out to the people, but you got to understand the only people that are going to really listen to us are the patriots and the ones that know how the left operates. The left, they don't care. I mean, they'll do anything and everything to discredit you, to make you look like an evil, crazy, racist, terrorist, insurrectionist. It's ridiculous. There was no insurrection that day. Do you think that thousands and thousands of people would come to D.C. with no weapons and attack the Capitol and call it an insurrection? That's just ridiculous.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You're absolutely right, but no one stops to consider these simplest of things. We're going to take over D.C. How are we going to do it? Body weight.
Yeah. Ridiculous. This whole thing has just been truly has been something to fool the American people into believing something that's not true. And that's how the Democrats operate. They'll cover something up, with something else, and then call it, put lipstick on a pig and call it, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just like they're very deceitful. They're very cunning. They're very they're smart at what they do. They probably have think tanks that just think up this stuff every day. How can we, and they probably war game it all the time before they do it. Let's hit every aspect of every angle of how we can get away with this. Let's blame this party or blame that guy or.
And they got a long game. They're no different than the Chinese. The Chinese have a long game. They're looking at 100 years, and the Democrats are looking, okay, well, we didn't get everything we wanted this time. We got 15% of what we wanted. We'll get another 5 or 10% more. And then the next election cycle, we'll get maybe 20%. And they don't stop until they get it. How does a tiger kill an elephant? One bite at a time.
Listen, you're in education, so you know what's going on. They use kids. They use these children as pawns. They take these, brains of mush, and they go to college, and then they mold them, they form them into what they want them to be. It's brilliant what they're doing, but it's destroying our country because they're brainwashing these kids into thinking that Marxism is what we need and socialism is the way to go and America's bad and, stomp on the flag, burn the flag, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Well, it comes down to the colleges nowadays, even high schools in some larger cities, I guess. But your colleges, they're not teaching kids how to think. They're teaching them what to think, and they have been for about 25 or 30 years. And so you've got, two or three generations of these people that finally figure it out, that, they're in their 50s before they go, oh, man, everything those guys told me in college was bullshit.
Yep. Well, let me just say to your viewers, I think your viewers are pretty smart. I'm sure they're not liberals.
Oh no.
But I think they know what's coming. You have to understand this is a means to an end. Everything they're doing it for a reason. You know, they want to they want to call Trump a dictator or whatever. He's far from that. You want to talk about dictatorship, look at Biden and what he's doing. You know, the border's wide open. I mean, that alone should tell you what's going on. They don't care about your welfare, your security, your children's welfare, nothing. Because there's people coming across that border that mean to do us harm, let me tell you. The economy, give me a break. The economy is ridiculous. I just went to the grocery store the other day and I got one of the small carts. You know what I mean? And I just filled the top of the small cart thinking, this ain't going to be that much. And it was $100. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How can a family with children or, you know, how can they survive, you know? And, you know, everything is, you know, based, and a lot of the left is based off, they love government. They want the government to support them, to back them, you know, to give them money, to take care of them. That's not the way this country was set up. This country was set up to be a republic. And, you know, the free market system is what we need to have. Competition between, you know, companies and businesses to make it better, to push people to think smarter and brighter and you know, make products better. Not to rely on the government to take over the pharmacy industry, to take over, you know, the car industry and, you know, and let them make all the decisions for us. That's not what America was supposed to be. So, you know, all I can say is you patriots out there, you better stay strong, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your head up. Prepare for the worst, okay? If you prepare for the worst, then, you know, everything else will be fine, because if something does happen, at least you'll know, you'll have the food, you'll have the necessities to live your life and not have to worry about food or comfort. You can take care of yourself and your family. Please do that. Please prepare now, because if you can look around the world and look at this country and see where we're headed, and it's not very good. It's not promising.
No, it isn't, and it's by design, you know, and it's Bill Clinton, the Clinton administration was guilty of it to a certain extent. The Obama administration's both terms, absolutely. And Joe Biden, definitely. It's been this managed decline of the United States. And under Joe Biden, they have pushed the accelerator to the floorboard. They got the throttle to the firewall. And they're trying to, because they know he's not going to get reelected. They know he's not going to get reelected. And they're going to and this is what bothers. Alejandro Mayorkas should have been impeached 2 years ago and should have been thrown out of office, if not run out of town on a rail. But he's still there. Same thing with Christopher Wray. Same thing with Anthony Blinken. Same thing with any, really, if you want to just pick a cabinet position, pick a cabinet secretary and look at him, and you could probably find some reason, you know, that they have absolutely no business whatsoever in that type of a position. It's just, but they're there by design. They're not there because, you know, somebody said, go find me the most incompetent group of individuals in the United States and we're going to bring them to white. No, those guys are there because they know exactly what the hell they're doing. And that's why they're in those positions. It's designed. Right. It's not an ugly coincidence. It's not incompetence. It's not fecklessness.
Right.
It is design.
That's exactly right. And that's what's happening to J6ers right now, is the judges are either – they either have something held over their heads. They're either being orchestrated by, you know, the Department of Homeland Security or the Attorney General. They're being told how to act. They're all biased. They're obviously – you know, following the beat of one drum, and that's not the Constitution. Obviously, it's. I don't even know what it is. It's some radical Marxist, you know, anti-American, you know, beat of a drum.
They're
it
kangaroo
doesn't make sense
courts,
to me,
Bart. You know, they're kangaroo courts.
Yeah.
It's a drum head. That's all.
Exactly. How can people that are, you know, protesting and just, you know, exerting their First Amendment right, get 18 to 20 years in jail. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's unheard of.
Yeah. When you came out, and now, if you feel comfortable sharing it, what were some of the things that you had to reexamine, maybe about yourself, but definitely, you know, you mentioned earlier there that there were members of your family that ripped you off and took stuff and they haven't given it back to you. And I'm just wondering, now that you're out, and I know, you know, you're even free, and I'm using my air fingers quote for that, because you're not free. You're limited. You're restricted by whatever the requirements are of your probation. But when you look at yourself and you look at those people who were around you before and after, what are some of your thoughts about what's happened, what's going to happen now?
Well, I think the most important thing that I've learned from this whole thing is I know who my friends are and who my friends aren't. I know who I can trust and who I can't trust. People that I thought were patriots, people that I thought were my friends have turned on me or, you know, stabbed me in the back, which hurts my feelings because I never did anything to them wrong. It's just, you know, just because I stood up for my country and I got put in, you know, in jail, doesn't make me a bad person. You know, I'm not a criminal, you know,
right.
I'm not one of these people that wants to go around and hurt people every day or, you know, cause chaos. That's not me. You know, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. I'm a man of honor. I'm a man of my word. That's all I have in this life is my word. So if I say something, I mean it. You know, and that a lot of people don't like that. They don't want to hear that because they're not. You know what I mean? A lot of people get bought off. A lot of people, you know, will do things for many different nefarious reasons. They won't. Once the light goes out and it's dark, then that's when you're by yourself. That's when you know if you do the right thing. That's when you know you're a good Christian person, because when there's nobody looking, you know, people do some pretty bad things. So I've learned that, you know what, I'm going to just keep to myself right now. I love my country. Don't get me wrong. I love it dearly. I will do anything for it. I will lay down my life for the people of this country if need be. You know, I'm dealing with that right now. My government, you know, basically gave me cancer. I'm still dealing with that. I have, you know, T-cell lymphoma that I have to go and get my cancer is so bad that I have to get a bone marrow transplant. That's what I'm, that's my treatment that I have to do now. That's what I'm, my next step in my health right now is I have to get a bone marrow transplant. So I'm dealing with that. After everything that's happened to me and everything my country's done to me, you know, I still sang the national anthem. I still love my country. So they're never going to take that away from me. Nobody can take that away from you. If you love your country, stick to your guns, stick to your God, stay strong. Don't ever give in. Don't compromise. And God will reward you for that. Trust me. He has me.
So have you, and I don't know if this is something you thought about or if it's something to go through the hassle of it. And I'm sure that you relive every minute of what you've gone through every day, and you probably will for a long time, if not the rest of your life. Have you thought about a book? Have you thought about telling your story in those terms?
You know, a lot of people told me I should write a book because I have a very compelling story.
Yes, you
but,
do.
But I don't think that I'm going to do that. I don't think so. I mean, if people ask me and want to hear my story, I'll tell them. But I'm probably not going to write a book. I'd love for people to hear the truth. because you're not hearing the truth through the media. You know, it's sad that it has to be that way. But it does say in the Bible that in the end times that man will be deceived. So you need to stick, you need to listen and try to listen to what and discern what is right. It's very difficult now, especially with AI coming out. There's going to be a lot of things that you're going to think that are true that are not true, especially this coming year, this election year. I think they're going to use the left is going to use AI to try to deceive people.
And they're going to be successful at it. Look how successful they were in the last election without, you know, any kind of, you know, without the concept of AI. You know, look at how they, you know, how they do things, man. Again, like I said, there are so many people. There are more people out there. And I think it's changing because I know with, you know, Don Ewan and Don Fiducia and Cowboy Logic and programs like that and in my own small way, more and more people, as they turn away from the establishment media and they look at the alternative media and what, you know, what we're doing here and the folks that we're talking to, and they begin to discern a little bit better. You know, that awareness is changing. In other words, it's changing. But you're right there. And there are people out there, like I said, Bart, they believe what CNN tells them. They're not, you know, there's probably only about 500,000 of them, but by God, they believe it. They believe what USA Today says. They believe what National Public Radio, what PBS, National Public Radio, and NBC and ABC and all these guys say. And they don't question it. They've never questioned it. They think, you know, that they're watching the sons and daughters of Chet Huntley and David Brinkley and Walter Cronkite. But these people are so far removed from that, it's pathetic. And they look at them and they believe everything that's said because they saw it on TV.
Well, that's the devil. I'm telling you, it's the devil deceiving people. Honestly, if you, I hate to be a preacher, but if you read the Bible, you know the word, you'll know that in the end times, deceit and lies will be, and rumors of wars and famine and you know, all kinds of natural disasters. You know, they can blame it on whatever they want to blame it on, but I'm telling you, it's evil. And if you don't get yourself right, you won't be able to understand. You won't be able to hear the truth. You'll listen to the lies of the devil, and that's the bottom line.
And you will not survive that evil. You simply will not survive.
That's right. That's right. A lot of people, I'm going to just be honest with you. There's a lot of people that are going to perish, you know, in the end times, just because they don't believe, you know, you don't know the truth. I think they're going to be led astray. They're going to be led to, you know, to bad things are going to happen. And you have to be able to prepare yourself for that and know what's going on and keep yourself in the light. I mean, that's what I did when I was in prison. I prayed a lot. I kept myself close to God, and he took care of me. He really took care of me when I got out of jail because I had nowhere to go. I had no home to go to.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that. What happened when they said, all right, Bart, we're tired of you, we can't do anything else with you, and we don't want you dying in here, so on your way.
Yeah. Well,
and the door closes
behind you,
and you're outside.
Right. I was supposed to go live with my sister, but my sister's husband is a liberal.
Okay.
And he did not want me to come there, or else I could have got out 6 months earlier. I couldn't go there to live with him because they didn't want an insurrectionist in their house. So I had to stay in jail. And when I got out, I was, the judge thought I was going to go live with my sister, but I got out. I lived in a hotel for about a week. Through one of my good friends, I bought a RV and a truck, and I now live in an RV, in an RV park. I lost two dogs that I love dearly, but I got two puppy shepherds right now, a brother and sister, and I love them to death.
Okay, good. That's good.
This is how, and this is, I mean, this is what I'm telling you. God will take care of you. I lost everything, but I've gotten most of it back on my own. You know what I mean? I love where I live right now. I love my dogs. I love my life, basically. I love everything about my life right now. Well, except for the cancer, but
right.
And I love talking to people about what's going on. I love being on your show. I love being on Cowboy Logic. I love to talk to, I've talked to several Patriot groups. I talked to the Lancaster, Lancaster County Patriots up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. The 200 people, I spoke to them. I just go around and talk. I talk the truth. I tell the truth. You know, I'm very patriotic. I'm very religious. I stand up for what's right. And nobody's going to shut me up. You're not going to shut me up, especially now. I've already been through hell. You know, what do I have to lose, you know?
Right. I'm going to ask this question. I suspect I think I already know the answer, but I want to go ahead and ask it anyway. And as soon as I preface it, you'll know where I'm going. Knowing what you know now, and if someone had told you that this was what was going to befall you when you went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, would you still have done it?
Wow, that's a tough one. Man, I don't know. I don't think I would have. I mean, I love my country, okay. But I don't want to go to jail. I didn't want to lose everything. But looking back on it now, I can tell you that it was an experience that I grew tremendously. My faith in God, my love of country, my patriotism, all that's done. Everything that they've done to me, that they thought that they were going to break me and hurt me and break me down, has just made me stronger. It's made me, realize that there are things in this country worth fighting for. And it's not, the military complex or, football or, vacationing. It's the American people. It's freedom. It's liberty. It's the right to choose your happiness. You know what I mean? Whatever you deem happy, whatever makes you happy,
right.
As long as you're not hurting people and you're not doing bad things, whatever you do, you have the right to do it. And the government doesn't have a right to tell you you can't. I'm very adamant about that. That is one thing I can tell you right now. The government has no right to be in any, a lot of the business. The only thing the government's supposed to do is protect us. That's it. That's in the Constitution. Their only objective in being a government is to protect the American people. And they've gone way beyond that. They're into everything. And that's just, I think that's just despicable, disgraceful.
Well, yeah, and the thing of it is with the Constitution, and this is its, and this is the one saving grace that I think anybody that's, read or tried to make an effort to understand the Constitution, and more importantly, why the founders spelled it out the way that they did, is because it is a turnkey document to correcting everything wrong in this country. You want to fix it? All we have to do is abide by the Constitution. That's it. That's all we got to do. But you have these folks up there, and they're aware of this. People in Washington, D.C. are aware of this, and they bank on the American people not being aware of the Constitution. And they count on them being afraid or reluctant to seek redress of those grievances. That's what January 6th was. January 6th was the voting public coming to Washington, D.C. in an attempt to engage and seek redress of the grievances. And look what they turned it into. And look what they've done to the people that they placed under arrest.
Yep. I agree. Nope, I agree 100%. And I think, you know what? I think that they dumbed down certain cultures of this American, you know, we're all a melting pot. We have many, many people of different backgrounds and different ethnicities. How do you say it? You know, ethnic backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah. We're a very diverse nation. And I think what they do is they try to dumb down people so that they can keep their power and so that the people don't know what their rights are, you know, or what the Constitution says that they have, you know, rights to. That way they can dominate you and control you.
Exactly. One of the reasons they don't teach cursive writing in the schools anymore is so nobody can read it. That way they can't read our founding documents.
Hmm.
That's a doggone shame.
You know, that's just a theory, but I mean, it starts again. You know, Bart, we talked about it. An informed and disseminating voter is an electorate is how we stop this. And guys like you telling your stories, to guys like me who do what we can to get them out there, and people like Donna Fiducian, Don Ewan. You know, that this is the most effective tactic that we have to turn the tide in this information war, this info war. It takes constant, and it's constant. They never rest. Consequently, we can't either.
Right. I think a lot of it also has to do with their Marxist vision for this country. And I think what they're doing is, I mean, this is obvious that they try to keep us divided. They divide us through many different ways. You know, they divide us through race. They divide us through economic, you know, social, every different way you could think of to divide us and keep us at each other's throats. You know, if we ever came together, if BLM, Antifa, the Tea Party, the Patriots ever got past all the lies that they're trying to tell each one of us to divide us, and we came together, that would scare the hell out of them, because then they would have no one to back them. But unfortunately, that they use these pawns, the BLM and Antifa, they use these people to cause chaos and division among the American people. And the worst thing about it is they throw race out there. I hate it when they can't win a debate, they call you a racist. And you're like, what are you talking about? I'm not, what? You know what I mean? And you're like,
exactly.
you get thrown back, and you're like, is that all you can do is accuse me of? That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just, it's ridiculous.
Well, yes. And as soon as they go to the name calling, then, you know, they're out of bullets, man. They don't have anything else to defeat your argument. So what are we going to do? Well, we'll call him a racist. We'll call him a homophobe. We'll call him a xenophobe. We'll call him a bigot, you know, whatever.
Right. Right. It's like accusations are their weapons, you know, but they can't prove anything. Like there's no, it's not proof. It's just an accusation, but people believe
they
it.
They don't need
people,
proof. That's it. They just need the allegation. And then everybody runs wild with it.
That's right. That's right.
And they work to get convictions in the court of public opinion, and that's the most effective way they have of shutting anybody that opposes them down.
Right.
While we're talking, Barton, and we haven't got to it yet, and I know we need to, let's talk about your page.
Oh, my Give, Send, Go page?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. I wanted to get to it earlier, but we've got about 15 minutes. So tell us a little bit about that and how it's going.
Okay, great.
Started.
Honestly, I have a page. I have a website called BartonShively.com. That's a website my buddy made for me. You can go on there and check that out. That's pretty good. It's got some nice patriotic stuff on there. He did a good job with it. My GiveSendGo page is obviously it's on GiveSendGo. It's GiveSendGo.com G39XW. Again, G39XW, give, send, go, for me. That would, you know, if anybody could help me out, God bless you. I would really appreciate it because, you know, I lost everything. I'm starting over. I have a good start, but it takes a lot of money. It, I mean, takes a lot more money nowadays than it did when I went to jail to live out here. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable how things have changed. You know, and I have, you know, my two dogs, I thank God every day. They're so awesome. I got to take care of them. And that's my family. My sister, you know, I basically have disowned my sister because I can't be around her husband. So, and she, you know, I can't blame her. That's her husband. You know, she has to,
right,
you know, do what, whatever, you know, he tells her, I guess, I don't know, Well, it's like, you know, once you're brainwashed, it's very hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
You know, once these people get in, it's like they're like zombies. You know, CNN is right. MSNBC is right. You know what I mean? And you can't argue with them. It's like arguing with a brick wall because you're not ever going to get through.
No,
they call
once,
you a conspiracy
it's like
theorist.
Concrete. You know, once it
yeah.
sets. Once it, you know, you can work with it a little bit there for a while, but once it sets, it can't be changed. It can't be reshaped.
That's right. That's exactly right. I tried to tell my brother-in-law, I said, listen, I went to D.C. to, you know, help people and to be a patriot and stand up for my country. He's like, well, you did a job of that. You went down there and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me right now. You know, you think what these people did was wrong, you know, standing up, you know, against a corrupt government. I just don't get it. These people I don't understand, you know, but again, think back to the Revolutionary War, 3% of the people. I mean, they say this is a lie, but it's not a lie. I believe it. 3% of the people fought against the British. And the rest of the people were for the British. We're for the king, you know. So, you know, it's mind-boggling that people don't understand or grasp what's really going on in the world, and they live behind a veil of their political ideology, which is ridiculous because they have to know something's not right. When under President Trump, we were energy independent. The border was secure. We were fixing things over in the Middle East. That's now that he's gone, all of a sudden Biden's in charge. The Middle East is on fire. The border's wide open. Inflation's rampant. And these people still don't we love Biden. We want to get him back in. You got to be kidding me.
No, Bart, they're not kidding you. They're dead serious. Because CNN,
oh my Lord.
I know, man, I know, but it's the truth. Public broadcasting, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS are all telling them. And USA Today, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they're all saying, hey, yeah, it's great. Everything is great. Meanwhile, you and I are sitting there watching a dumpster on fire washing down in a flash flood.
Yeah.
And they're telling us it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the frog in the pan that gets, you know, you throw them in lukewarm water and turn the water up slowly, you know, until the frog, you know what I mean, until he's cooked. It's like that's exactly what's happening right now. These people are just being let, I mean, honestly, we're going to be led to the slaughter because I don't see anything changing for the good. I mean, if you look around this country, you could go on YouTube, you could go on any platform you want to go on, and all you'll see if you want to look for it is crime is rampant. I mean, I just watched a thing on YouTube the other day about cops in Chicago who were, there was like five or six cops were arresting these gang members. There was like three or four gang members. Well, while the cops were arresting the gang members, other gang members showed up and started shooting at the cops. And I'm thinking to myself, what? You got to be kidding me. This is insane. This is like the Wild Wild West. Who does that? It's insane.
And it's the United States. I mean, you think about stuff like this, you think about Mogadishu, you think about Libya, you think about any, you know, rowdy country in the Middle East or in Africa. You know, that's, yeah, you can see this stuff all the time. But we're talking about the United States, even if it is Chicago, for crying out loud. I want to share something with you. I'm going to play this. You mentioned something about crime running rampant and just the general crappy condition of the country. This is from a movie that was made in 1976, a movie called Network. And I know you've probably heard this, but the more things change, the more they say they stay the same. And the question I'm going to ask after you listen to this is, tell me what is so different today as opposed to 1976.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
That was 1976, Bart.
That is dead spot on.
1976,
that's amazing,
man. Yeah,
that's, and here we are again. Pathetic.
Full circle. We've come full circle. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about what the prophet was preaching there, and that is, I'm a human being. I'm a human being. My life has value, and I'm mad as hell about this, and we're not going to take any more of it. And I think we're really, really close to that. And again, I'm not talking about fomenting violence. I'm not talking about armed insurrection. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about speaking truth to power, demanding civil redress for our grievances as we are guaranteed in the Constitution. And that's what we all have to do. There's got to be a whole bunch more of us because there are more of us than there are them. And who's going to fix their air conditioning? Who's going to cook their food? Who's going to take out their garbage? Who's going to fix their toilets? Who's going to mow their grass? Who's going to wait on them in the lumber store or at the restaurants or in the grocery stores or the service stations? Without us, they don't survive. And it's time that they understand that. And that's about all the time we got, Bart. What's going on with you in the future?
Can I say one more thing real quick? The government is putting value on certain people. They're giving groups of people and they're giving them a number and they're giving them value. If you're part of a certain group, you don't have as much value as another group of people.
Right.
That's got to stop. We all have value. We all are human beings, and we all have a right to everything that the Constitution affords us, not just certain people. You're right. We need to stand up. We need to come together, stop the bickering, stop the anger, get past it, and come together as a nation, as a people under God, and you know, just cry for our rights, cry for our freedoms and our liberty, because we're losing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Barton Shively, United States Marine Corps January 6th survivor, 18 months survivor of the D.C. jail. And that's making a statement right there. If you know anything about the D.C. jail and the practically subhuman conditions that they've had these guys living in this entire time. Bart, are you going to be on any programs anytime soon? Are you scheduled to talk with anyone?
Yeah, Monday morning, I think, coming up here, I'm talking to the Virginia Conservative Party out of Virginia through Zoom. I don't know. I'm not sure what the group's name is, but I know it's the Conservative Virginia Party. I'm going to talk to them. Other than that, I'm trying to get on the docket to go out to New York on January 6th of next year to talk to the warehouse up there. The what is it called? The I'm sorry. Don just told me the other day he's going up there. I'm trying to get myself, if I can get up there, if my probation officer will let me go, I'd like to go speak to the people up there, but I don't think I got to go through D.C. It's not my probation officer. He's just a babysitter. Everything goes through D.C. Everything goes through.
They'll tell him whether or not. Right.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Well, I want to thank you once again, number one, for sharing your story, and number two, coming back, you know, 2 weeks in a row, and I appreciate, number one, your generosity with your time. You have a home here, Bart, and you got a contact number for me. If there's something going on that's important in terms of what's happening with the J6ers or any of those guys that are still up there that you think we need to talk about, don't hesitate.
All right.
Okay,
thank you.
Reach out. I appreciate your time. God bless you. Thank you for your service back in the Reagan days, back for Neutron Ron, and thank you for what you've served your country again in the last couple of years in a way you probably never expected, and we want to thank you for that as well.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
God bless you, man. Thank you so much for being on. I know we will be talking soon.
All right, brother. Take care. God bless.
Yes, sir. Terrific. Terrific guy. Man, all right. Well, that's all the time we got. 90 seconds left. We're just going to go ahead and log off of this now. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks once again, Barton Shively. We're going to be talking with him again. That guy's got a home here. That's all the time we got. We'll be doing some stuff Sunday on the recorded version there at Mojo, Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is some of the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Thank you, Penelope. Mojo50. Sundays, 4 p.m. That's all the time we got once again. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about all the stuff that we talk about here. And we will be back next Thursday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.